The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's dangerously hot in North Texas, and now we are getting word it has claimed a life.
Dallas County Health and Human Services says someone has died of heat-related causes. The person was a man in his mid-60s. They say they don't have any information on whether he had a pre-existing health problem. Dallas County Health and Human Services Director Dr. Philip Wong says it's time to prioritize heat safety, especially for older adults and kids. That includes drinking plenty of water, avoiding alcohol on hot days, and limiting your outdoor activities during the hottest parts of the day. Dallas County also offers a program to help low-income residents that don't have air conditioning. From the 24-Hour News Center, Stephen Pickering, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Now with this heat, North Texas first responders are doing what they can to help.
Reliant donated 100 air conditioners to the Fort Worth Fire Department. Firefighters have started installing them. A woman who lives in East Fort Worth says she covered her windows with blankets to block the sun, but the window unit can take the edge off the heat.
I have to stay, you know, in front of the air, especially in the month of July and August, September, whatever. It gets pretty hot in here, yeah.
The fire department's Craig Krajic says projects like this show their mission goes beyond just putting out fires.
We've got to this day and age with all the fire codes and stuff like that. We've got to be a resource, and kind of the term that a lot of folks are using now are problem solvers.
He says these donations can help people before the department has to come back to these houses as paramedics because of heat exhaustion. In Fort Worth, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The hot weather means the Salvation Army is working overtime to keep people cool. They partnered with the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington today, and former Cowboy Kenny Grant was loading box fans into people's cars.
They're very appreciative. When they stop by, they come by and tell us how much they appreciate what we're doing. So it's a really good opportunity to connect with the community.
The Salvation Army has also opened cooling stations across the Metroplex. Those will stay open at any time we hit triple digits for more than a day, or the heat index hits 105 degrees more than 2 days in a row.
Well, today's the first hearing for the request for Republicans to redraw the congressional maps to try and flip 5 seats from the Democrats.
The day began with protesting outside of the state capitol before moving inside, where the State House Select Committee on Redistricting met for the first time.
Quorum is present.
Committee Chair Cody Vassute, U.S. Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia testified, her district in Houston one of those being targeted by President Trump.
We should be working on legislation to support families in the Hill Country after the devastating flooding. Instead, we are here today playing political games to appease the felon in the White House in his lust for power.
San Antonio Congressman Joaquin Castro also in the first panel of speakers.
There's not a single Republican member of Congress who is here today from Texas to say this is a good thing and we should do it.
In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Senator John Cornyn is getting in on our conversation online about who former Congressman Colin Allred would want to run against if nominated in the 2026 Senate race. Allred, who lost to Senator Ted Cruz last year, says if he is nominated again, it doesn't matter if he runs against Cornyn or Paxton.
We've seen, tariff policy. It's making, goods more expensive, a bill that's going to make your health care and energy costs more expensive. I want to be laser focused on lowering folks' costs and being on our side first and foremost before any other considerations.
Cornyn has joined the conversation on X, saying Allred may not be the nominee. A number of recent polls shows Allred may have a better chance of winning if the Republican nominee is Ken Paxton. Paxton is leading Cornyn in several recent polls in the Republican contest.
The death of the most famous professional wrestler of all time.
Heavyweight champion of the world, Hulk Hogan from Venice Beach, California, putting that coveted title of his on the line against none other than the Brutus Beefcake.
Well, you know me, Gene, I like getting on in Oakland, California, man, because I kind of get to bend the rules a little bit, because all those Hulkamaniacs out there, they're just like my man Stallone. First blood, man, instinct alone. Go for broke no matter what it takes. Hang on to that WWF title.
You know, Hulk, you've got a little bit of that Rambo in yourself.
So he's 71 years old. Exactly, apparently was a cardiac arrest. He hadn't been in the best of health, and at his home in Florida, they made the 911 call this morning, and too late to save him, Hulk Hogan. I guess he just had like neck surgery or something.
Yeah, they said there were some complications from that, but his family had really pushed back on rumors that he was in poor health. But there had been some tweets going out that pray for Hogan and so on, but you never really know. But, Moy, you want to talk about a guy.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was one of those Hulkamaniacs. I remember seeing him in Rocky III when he came in as Thunder Lips in that movie and wrestled Stallone, and I thought, oh, my God.
That put him on a lot of people's radar.
And then Man McMahon got a hold of him, and the rest is history. With WrestleMania I, he and Mr. T
right
teamed up against Roddy Piper.
And one of maybe the most famous wrestling match ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
WrestleMania III, baby.
Hulk Hogan lifted the Giant up over his head. They did a documentary about that on HBO.
Andre now with an Irish whip in.
First time Andre had ever been knocked down.
Yeah, that's according to the storyline, yeah. Oh, and he started hulking up.
Finally out of nowhere, slam!
That was Andre told him. He went off script and said, slam. You got to let him do it. And it...
Look at that crowd, baby. Just 93,000 in the Silverdome.
Heard him, the leg drop. I went and hit the leg drop, thinking he's going to kick out. You know, and he didn't kick out.
And down went the Giants.
Boom. And here I was, six-year-old, seven-year-old kid flipping out.
Oh, you must have been going crazy.
My dad... He knew that we liked it, so he sprung for the pay-per-view back then. You had to call in.
Where was that? That was at the Pontiac Silverdome.
93,000, according to them. That was the highest. I think that is the biggest audience they ever had at that facility in Detroit, Michigan.
And he kept at it into the 90s, into the 2000s. He had a couple of matches with The Rock before one of them. The Rock got up in the ring and was making fun of the Hulkster.
Don't look at The Rock like he's got three heads, like you don't know what The Rock is. Maybe The Rock will talk in your language. How about this? Well, let me tell you something, brother.
He had a great match, WrestleMania 18. Some consider it was very... He was the bad guy. The Rock was the good guy, or the heel and the baby face.
Yeah.
And the crowd in Toronto started turning on The Rock and actually started cheering Hogan. And it went Hogan's way. And Hogan lost, but the crowd was cheering his name at the end of it.
This is like Ozzy the other day. You may not have liked him. You may not have been a fan, but this guy was a very big part of a lot of people's lives.
You know when they say...
He's an American icon.
When you say you have the it factor, he did. He was very charismatic. I mean, I know, again, we were laughing on this show when it happened to a degree. But when he went up at the RNC and went in front of those Trump supporters and said, what you going to do, and ripped his shirt off, that whole place was flipping out.
Yeah.
And this is, if you have it, you have it. He brought joy to a lot of kids back in the day. And then when he turned, he went heel in the mid-90s, and he became even more popular as a bad guy through that time.
So. And he has, multiple reports that Hulk Hogan has died of cardiac arrest this morning at his home in Florida at the age of 71. And obviously, we've got a lot more information on this story to come, and we will pass that along to you.
What is it with this week, man? Malcolm Jamal Warner drowns. Ozzy dies after just having his final concert.
I got to say, in the case of Ozzy, and honestly, Hulk Hogan, too.
Yeah, they did some steroids back in the day.
The lives that they led.
Yeah.
it's amazing they made it into their 70s.
And the thing is, Hogan wrestled. He was actually a wrestler well into his 50s. And so you talk about all the injuries that is so hard. He's 6'5", 6'6", or whatever he was. And you wrestle, that is hard on your body.
Yeah.
And all the surgeries that he had, and of course, in the beginning of his career, a lot of steroid use. So it takes its toll.
It does. And Hulk Hogan has been now confirmed by police in Clearwater, Florida, that Hulk Hogan has died at the age of 71. And we are joined by Super Bowl winning scout, former Cowboys scout, host of G-Bag Nation, a 105.3 The Fan, and an Emmy Award winner. I did not know that. Brian Brown.
That's a heck of a title, man.
Right now, man.
Hey, how about this? I'll brag on myself, 2-time Emmy winner.
Oh,
how about that?
Wow. There we go. All right. I didn't know we're talking to a celebrity.
I'm going to have to update my intro.
That's what we do here around. Our station's full of celebrities, right?
That's right. That's true. We're walking in the hallways with celebrities.
So we're gonna get to Micah here in a second, but let's start off with this. Fights 2 days in a row. A little chippy out there, and then Shotty's reaction. I saw that he gathered them all in the middle of the field and read them the riot act, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did. You know, and it really what happened, you know, Sam Williams caught Troy Pride in the neck with a punch, and it hurt Troy Pride for a bit. I mean, he went down, and, you know, that's where I think that Schottenheimer really drew the line. I mean, there's scuffles you have in training camp practices, and usually they happen, you know, when the pads come on and people are getting tired and, you know, you're kind of irritated about being at camp. And, you know, day two, it's, you don't usually get those things. But when Sam hit Troy and then it injured him, then that's where Schottenheimer gathered the guys and said, listen, I don't want to see punches being thrown. And, you know, he says, I've hard play, you know, all that stuff's fine, but no punches. And, you know, and that's, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to be careful. I've been in part of training camps where guys have thrown punches, they've hit helmets and broke hands. And then all of a sudden now those guys are out for, you know, a good period of time. So you have to be mindful, careful, try and keep your emotions in check. It usually happens when you're hot and tired and miserable. But here we are early in the campaign, and you know, we've already got to be reminded of these things.
All right. I know that Sam Williams, besides that fight, he seemed like he was having a pretty good camp. Is there someone else that you're liking too, as well as Sam?
Well, yeah. The strength of this team, especially defensively, is at the edge rushers. And, you know, with Micah being out, then you're having to have some guys step up and try and fill some roles that way. And one guy that really has stood out here the last couple of days is Donovan Ezeraku, who is the rookie from Boston College that they selected in the second round. And he's a guy that's very natural as a pass rusher. The learning curve for him doesn't look to be too steep. Played in a conference where he played against really good competition. And you could tell out here at camp so far, yes, we're in helmets and jerseys and stuff, but he's an explosive player. And, you know, he's given some of these offensive tackles some fits with his pass rush. So they're looking for that type of a player. But the strength of this defense right now is that edge rush group. And Sam and Donovan and Dante Fowler and those guys are all doing a pretty solid job here through the first couple of weeks.
All right. Well, you brought up Micah. So do we have any progress to report there, or are we still looking at a deal gets done 2 days before the regular season opener?
Yeah, that would be really unfortunate, because if that deal gets done 2 days before the first game, is there a chance that Micah Parsons might not play? You know, and that's a division game against Philadelphia on the road, and you're going to need Micah Parsons in that game. And, you know, would the Cowboys put him out there with really no training camp practice? You know, and that's the unfortunate thing. This thing needs to get done more sooner than later. You know, I know on the sports side of things on our station, on 105.3 The Fan, we've been talking about for a couple of years now that with Micah, and were the Cowboys really committed to getting him signed up? And, you know, I think they want to get it done. You know, the agent is kind of, you know, agents in general have, if you're a marquee player, they've slow played the Cowboys because they know the Cowboys will eventually cave in at the end. And, you know, that's where I think that, you know, David Mulugeta, the agents, probably played that game. And I think it's frustrated Stephen Jones to the point there where even when he's been asked about it, he's like, listen, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And I think yesterday or actually 2 days ago when Micah and Diggs were, you know, met the media and started talking about things, I think that was probably the first time that Micah felt like this deal might not get done. And, you know, you could just tell it in his body language, his language when he was answering questions. And I think it created a little doubt there. So we'll see how this thing all plays out.
All right, let's end on a high note here. George Pickens, he was the big free agent, free agent, but a trading acquisition.
Trading,
How's he look good? I've heard he's looked great.
Yeah, he is a very interesting player because he is one of these guys that is on most teams would be the first receiver, and you just happen to have one with him and CeeDee Lamb, and they're doing a good job of playing him and Lamb on the same side of the field. We call it 3-by-1, where you have, you know, three receivers to one side and then a receiver opposite that. But they're using him in a lot of different ways, a combination routes and things like that with CD. So the Joe Milton, Dak, those guys, you know, when given the opportunity, you could see the separation there with Pickens. He's very, very good at catching the football on the move. Run after catch is good. But, you know, we've yet to see him have to make one of those contorted catches where it's like there's no way he's going to get that. And then all of a sudden he comes down with it. But one of the solid receivers in the National Football League, it was a, you know, it's an outstanding get, but it's up to the coaches to find ways to get him the football. Pittsburgh, they struggle with that a little bit. So let's see if Brian Schottenheimer and this coaching staff can take advantage of a guy that's a super, super talented player.
All right, there he is. Two-time Emmy winner Brian Broaddus with us here on Brian, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.